Our first scripture lesson today are words from the prophet Isaiah, words that will probably be familiar to most of you. And as we often say when we're reading familiar scriptures, listen to them with new ears for what God's word to you. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Today we continue on with a sermon series called Advent Through the Eyes of Those Who Waited. And we focused on Zechariah last week, and this week we focus on Joseph. So listen now for God's word to and for us. And I'll be reading from Matthew's Gospel, the very first chapter, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until after she had borne a son, and named him Jesus. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Living God, help us so to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Alvina Johnson had directed the Christmas pageant at Second Presbyterian Church in the mythical town of North Haven, Minnesota, for 47 years. In nearly half a century, there had not been a single change to the script, which had been lifted directly from the King James Version of the Bible. Youthful faces came and they went, but the Christmas pageant remained the same, as solid as the rock of Gibraltar. That was until the year of the Young Mothers Rebellion. They demanded a pageant that had parts for all of the children, and they wanted a newer version, a more modern version or translation of the Bible in the Christmas pageant as their base. Well, Elvina resigned in a huff, and so it planned to the Young Mothers group to plan the entire program. And so the problem was that this change in the script from the KJV to the NRSV was made at the last minute. And so there wasn't a practice, so the kids were hearing the NRSV instead of the KJV for the first time. And so when it got to the point where the narrator was, the little boy was listening who played Joseph, and it got to the point for Christmas Eve, he heard it for the first time, he froze in his tracks when it was said that she wasn't great with child, but she was pregnant. And so he looked at Mary and he said, "Pregnant? What do you mean pregnant?" I imagine that those might have been Joseph's very first words too when he learned that Mary was expecting. What a shock this must have been to him. In the course of just a matter of minutes, his hopes and his dreams for his future family, the life that he thought he was going to have, had gone up in smoke. Not to mention the scandal, the shame, and the disgrace. Although we aren't told what Joseph was thinking, and we aren't told what he said to Mary when he learned that she was pregnant, he most likely did not feel any better equipped to handle and deal with such a predicament than any of us do when life throws us a major curveball and places us in unexpected situations that we never planned or hoped for ourselves. Joseph, though, I believe, is the one who is most like us, presented day by day with circumstances, and aren't we all, that are beyond our control, with facing lives that we would have never chosen for ourselves. We all, like Joseph, have been or will be faced with situations that we would rather not claim. Maybe it is an unexpected pregnancy, or maybe it is an unexpected death, or maybe it's a debilitating accident or a broken relationship, or maybe it's the loss of a job or a career, or maybe there's a wayward grandchild, or maybe even a child that is going in directions that we would rather not face. Maybe it's an unwanted diagnosis, or maybe there is a financial emergency. It's been said that life happens to us when we are busy making plans, and that's exactly what happened to Joseph. How do we react when the bottom falls out and something we thought could never happen does? I once heard it said that there are three basic ways to respond to unexpected, unplanned, and unwanted circumstances that happen to us in life. The first is the Pollyanna approach. I'm sure all of you have known a Pollyanna or two in your lives. They're the ones who always have a smile plastered on their face, and if you ask them, no matter what's going on in their life, they'll say, "Everything is great. Everything is wonderful." You know, Disney hires Pollyannas to work for them in their parks. I interviewed with Disney at one time, a very long time ago, and I was told, "If you come to work for us, even if a customer steps on your face, you are supposed to be able to smile. Can you do that?" These are the folks who can place themselves in a permanent state of complete denial of reality. Now, if that's not you, then perhaps there is a second approach, although I would not recommend it. To explain the second approach, I'm going to say a word, and then I want you to think of the person that comes to mind that you might associate with that word. The word is bitter. Do you see a face? I see a face. I see the face of a bitter person, of a farmer in western Oklahoma, riding a mortgage tractor, burning gasoline purchased on credit, moving across rented land, and rearranging the dust. Bitter. Do you see a face? I see a face. I see the face of a 47-year-old woman. She's sitting out on the hillside, drawn and confused. She is covered by a green canopy provided by the funeral home. Flowers and cards are all around her with messages like, "You have our condolences." Bitter. Do you see a face? I see a face. A young couple, about 19 years old. They're at the airport and they're holding hands so tightly that their knuckles are white. He's in military green and she's pregnant. They are just looking at each other, not saying a word, until the loudspeaker breaks into their silence and says, "Flight 392, loading at gate 22, now boarding for San Francisco." He slowly moves to the gate. She stands there alone, bitter. Bitterness can lead to cynicism. The cynic is the opposite of the Pollyanna. The cynic expects the worst outcome every single time. The cynic is the person who gives up before the situation is played out. Thankfully, there is a third approach. It's the approach of the believing realist. Joseph is a good example of a believing realist. When he was faced with the unexpected news of Mary's pregnancy, he turned to his faith. Scripture tells us that he was a righteous man. He was a devout believer who knew and followed God's law. In the first century, engagements were legal binding contracts. When a couple became engaged, they were considered to be husband and wife. The penalties for infidelity ranged from divorce to death. Joseph must have cared for Mary because when he got the news, we are told that he planned to dismiss her quietly. But all that changed when God spoke to him through an angel in a dream. And because of that experience, Joseph had a change of heart and a change in plans, and he went through with the wedding. What would have happened if Joseph would have ignored the angel's message and stuck with his first plan response? The course of history could have been changed. Just think about how things might have turned out. Mary could have been stoned to death or disowned or left on her own to fend for herself, begging, cheating, stealing, or prostituting. If you've never heard a sermon about Joseph before, I am not surprised. Has anyone heard a sermon about Joseph? Joseph is a supporting actor in the drama that focuses on the beautiful virgin and the newborn infant bathed in celestial light. And I, for one, have never seen a Christmas card that focuses on Joseph. And I've never sung a Christmas hymn in which Joseph plays more than a bit part. Throughout the Gospels, we never hear him speak. After Jesus is named, Joseph just kind of fades out of sight. We don't know much about him. We're told that he's a carpenter, and church tradition holds that he was much older than Mary was, but nothing really stands out. He's the steady type, the plain vanilla, the ordinary Joe. No razzle-dazzle here. Or was there? Joseph saw Advent, the coming of the Lord, through the eyes of faith. He was a believing realist. He continued to be faithful in the midst of disappointing circumstances while leaving room for God to act. The believing realist says, "I don't know how and I don't know when, but I know that God will work this out." Joseph could have put his head in the sand and gone into denial. He could have turned into a bitter cynic. But instead, this ordinary man, Joseph, kept trusting God and was faithful to what God had called him to do. The line of David was protected, and the Christ child was born because of his change of heart. Do not fear. Our God, Emmanuel, is with us. It may not be the situation or the life that you planned, but when we remain faithful and listen for God's instructions, the one who brings life out of death can cause ordinary people like us to accomplish God's extraordinary plans. Amen. Be seated. And now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.